When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, you have customers who are in need of seeing and buying homes right now. Just focus on servicing them. The responsibility of the brokerage, in our case, the brokerage platform, is to make sure the education's there, the proactive communications are. As we learn, you will learn. And we're doing so at both the partner level and the agent level proactively. And our view on this is, as long as our internal operation is staying attuned to the facts, simply communicating them proactively to the folks they are there to support, and at the same time guiding a business as usual mindset, it's all going to shake out great.
Hey folks, I'm Clayton Collins, the CEO at HousingWire, and we're back for another episode of the Powerhouse Podcast. Before we jump into today's show, I want to remind you that the HousingWire Marketing Leaders Award Program nomination window is now open. So this program celebrates and recognizes the most creative and influential marketing leaders in mortgage and real estate. So check out today's show notes for a link, or visit housingwire.com and check out our awards tab for details about HousingWire award programs. So our guest today on Powerhouse is Steve Capezza. Steve is the president at Side, and Side had a phenomenal year in 2023. According to RealTrends Verified, Side had 23,000 transaction sides last year. And that equates to $22 billion in volume, making them the number 9 largest brokerage in the country by volume and the number 3 independent. In this conversation with Steve, we talk a lot about brokerage team and teamerage models. We talk about the impact of the proposed NAR settlement and how that's changing the real estate ecosystem. We also have some advice for agents and team leaders on how to communicate and navigate this market in 2024. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Steve Capezza. I learned a ton from Steve, and I hope you do as well. All right, we're back for another episode of the Powerhouse Podcast. Today's guest, Steve Capezza, President Side. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you, Clayton.
I've always called you Steve, but am I right that like you have a nickname of Caps? Is that the preferred?
That's correct. Yeah, the childhood nickname. It has followed me. Actually, my dad had the same nickname, so did my brother, but shorthand for the last name Capezza.
Yeah.
Steve Capps, generally don't call me Steven unless you're mad at me. That's my wife's gut response.
So, well, mad at you or concerned. I understand there's a nor'easter going through the tri-state area right now. So if we hear someone scream Steven, it might be due to like storm damage, right?
Yeah. Winds are heavy, a little bit of flooding. We'll be okay though.
All right. I don't think our podcast audience cares too much about the weather on Long Island right now, but it is like relevant. Like there could be a storm that interrupts this podcast. We're going to keep going. So Steve, let's jump in. So I know your background in the real estate industry extends far past your time at Side. So give us a little context. Where are you coming from? What brought you to this opportunity of leading Side as president?
Yeah, it's an over 20-year journey. I started my professional career in the early 2000s version of PropTech. I sold websites to real estate agents back in 2002. So with a small little outfit called ZT7, now part of the Constellation family. I spent close to a decade. I had like a telecom break in there where I worked for a company called Jitterbug, cell phone for seniors. Those cell phones had dial tones on them. It was an amazing experience where I learned a lot about the importance of operational excellence. Delivering a cell phone to a home is quite complex. Anyway, I came back to the industry and in 2013, I joined Zillow Group by way of Trulia. Trulia was a competitor of Zillow's at the time. Spent 2 years there in San Francisco. And then after the acquisition of Trulia, joined the Zillow team in Orange County, where I led various sales operations, revenue operations teams, culminating with me leading Premier Agent, Zillow's core business for the last 2 or 3 years of my time there. I came to Side for a few reasons. I think the most useful for our listeners here is my view on the future of real estate is it's going to be held up. It has been held up by the best practitioners in the land. It's a huge decision for a consumer, and they deserve and should get the service of the best in class practitioners. The Side model, and it's in its purest form, really turns those best in class practitioners from operators of businesses inside of larger brokerages into owners of their own businesses. Like the meta outcome or the entrepreneurial potential can fully be realized of those folks. And you know, when Guy Gal and I talked about what he and the team were building, I thought the model was and is the future of brokerage, and the role fit and the model fit. And so I jumped in.
So during your before Side, so your time at Zillow, you were there at an incredibly consequential and high growth time. And you're but selling into a real estate industry that's always been like, you know, a little bit behind the curve on technology adoption and resistant to change in some ways. What'd you learn about selling into and like working with the brokerage community while you were at Zillow? You know, that ultimately worked. Y'all grew like a weed, but like, what'd you learn in that time period?
Yeah. During my time at Zillow, you're referencing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a few different things. One, the industry in and of itself certainly had the underpinnings that were relatively archaic, which offered quite a bit of opportunity for companies like Zillow and the other thousands of prop tech organizations to impact it, and in particular the agent experience. I did also learn that top agents, in large part, although consuming a good percentage of transactions, did not consume the majority. A reason behind that is they themselves have been a bit underserved. Organizations like Zillow, like Side, like others, in order for them to advance the industry forward, needed to really, really focus on, if you want to solve the consumer experience, the folks that are delivering the best in class experience to those consumers, you should be focusing on them as well. And I did feel over the course of my time at Zillow, and Zillow built some programs to serve at that thesis, that was something that was ripe in the industry. And I think finally, the landscape is large. It's a big category. When you think about real estate, we often talk about like the market from a national perspective. What I really learned at Zillow, particularly given you got all these consumers, it's a national brand, it's unaided from an awareness perspective. Once they got to the agents that they were working with, it is a very localized experience. And I think Zillow turned on the lights for me in that way that I hadn't really thought about before, and I brought that learning to Side in the way we serve our partners as well.
Go a little deeper there. So like what specifically was like the learning on like the local emphasis and how does that play into the Side model?
Sure. So the simple act of executing a transaction differs from market to market.
Yeah.
The paperwork can be different. The housing stock can be different. You know, San Francisco is a great example. I think New York City is the best possible example of that, particularly with co-ops. You have the entrance of new construction and new development in certain markets that brings a particular nuance. The language can be different. I mean, we saw this a long time ago where in some markets, folks called floor time uptime. Like it's a some way, shape or form a different ballgame when you go market to market. The impact on the community and the feel of the community can be different, also be getting deltas in experience. And so if you serve the person who serves those consumers and sells that stock and all those things, if you're serving them in a turnkey, if you call it commoditized, whatever, like anything that says the same way, One size fits all is generally the term, I guess. You're not going to realize your potential as an organization. I think that applies to the brokerage community.
Yeah, I think we like long known real estate's a local game, but for me, it was that those early, well, I don't know, like March and April 2020, like me and COVID, when that was like really pronounced about how different the process is across the country. Like, remember the days we were talking about, like, is our real estate agents or title reps or appraisers, like essential services. And like, we started to see like how different everything operates across the US. It's not just like culture and property type and home values. It's also like legally the systems operate really differently. Okay. So building side, national platform, how do you maintain like the flexibility to have like nuance by market, but like scalability at a national level?
Sure. We operate in 16 states. We do not operate in 50. Maybe one day we will.
Is that a choice or just where you are in the growth cycle?
It's both a choice. And, you know, part of that is where we are in the growth cycle.
Okay.
Our growth strategy is go deep, serve well, and then scale from there. And so we're very methodical in our focus there, and our growth will reflect that. We believe that will bring some real sustainability to our business, not only in the near term, but in the long term. That said, like going back to your question, how do you solve for scale and nuance at the same time? So principally, we've made the choice to understand like, what are the key components of our model that need to travel? So for example, the partners of side, they are the marquee in every single market that we operate in. Getting to that place is actually quite different in Florida versus California. We've set our brokerage operation up in Florida to reflect that nuance. As an example, executing a transaction, we have built a best-in-class transaction conveyance platform. It's a side app. There are nuances as it relates to transaction envelope creation, compliance, commission accounting, market to market. And so the side application is one we want everyone to adopt. That is our scaled system. But the nuances that exist in it are reflective of our understanding of the markets that we operate in. Those are two examples.
So in the markets you operate in, like you're not operating under the brand side. And if I understand it right, there's an emphasis on creating brands in each market. So do referral partners and like mortgage partners or consumers care if a broker or an agent is associated with side? Like do they ever even see that? Like how does that work like kind of in market?
Yeah, we're invisible.
Yeah.
And so the more like a lender would care about the reliability of a brokerage operation. And so in that conversation between a side partner who is an owner and operator of their own business and perhaps a preferred lender partner, that's going to come up. What's the reliability of your brokerage operation? But as it relates to the like external community, as it relates to the consumer, especially the only brand that matters is the brand of our partner. And we remain invisible, and that is very much by design.
At HousingWire, we're obsessed with data and analytics. Without good insight, there's no shot at operational excellence or innovation. Mortgage lenders that want to thrive in today's market must have access to due diligence and valuation intel, risk management tools, and predictive analytics. And they have to cover everything from the asset to the enterprise. This is exactly what Consolidated Analytics does. If you want to make more informed decisions and optimize performance, you have to check out Consolidated Analytics. Visit consolidatedanalytics.com to start your journey toward more informed decision making. Yeah, so I know in the past you've talked to our Real Trends and HousingWire newsroom about evolution of different models from brokerages and teams and teamerages. Give us a glimpse. Let's make sure we're working with like a common vocabulary here. Like, how do you like your markets? Are those teamerages or brokerages? Like, let's go through kind of the vocabulary to make sure we're thinking of this the right way.
Yeah, we've talked about this a few times. My view on the teamerage is, it's a team that operates like its own company, like a brokerage, and it's a brokerage that operates like a team would. It's not a, you know, many brokerages operate where you have a broker and then you just have a bunch of agents milling around. They don't operate as a cohesive organization that has proper operational infrastructure, sales leadership, things to that effect. And so that's the Team Ridge model. Side supports both. If you're an independent broker looking to advance your team operations, so you run more like a company, you can move from independent broker to Team Ridge on the side platform. And then if you're a person running a team or a team leader running a team inside of another organization and you're ready to go independent and start your own company, but there's some daunting components of that, one of which is taking on the responsibility of brokerage and liability, you partner with Side so you can turn your team into an actual company. Both of them equal Team Ridge.
All right. Really interesting. Okay. So now that we kind of have like shared vocabulary, we'll move on a little bit. So the National Association of Realtors settlement, how is that impacting the trends and models between like being a broker, being a team, being under somebody else's franchise flag versus being independent? Like what's shifting in the ecosystem today?
Sure.
And I know we're super early to answer that question.
But the proposed settlement, we'll operate under the assumption that it is the settlement. So, look, there's a lot to be learned, there's certainly a bunch of action as it relates to, you know, a lot of armchair quarterbacks, like experts, newly knighted experts, and sort of expressing their thoughts on things. And then there's some industry experts actually taking the temperature down and focusing on, what's true, what is not, how should you operate moving forward. And so my feedback is reflective of the latter. There have been some really compelling voices out there as it relates to that, among which, Side is getting involved there, and Hillary Saunders, our co-founder and chief brokerage officer, Guy Gall, our CEO, you will hear them speak on this topic in the coming weeks and months. Our partners have as well. As it relates to models, independence, franchises, the Team Ridge model, my view on all of this is, two things are true. One, the process of buying a home is a very, very difficult one. It's infrequent. And because of that, whether you're on the buy side or the sell side of that transaction, having an advisor, having a guide, having a pro represent you is really, really, really important. And I don't see that changing, at least in the foreseeable future. Secondly, there is a large swath of transactions that are conducted, it's really important, infrequent, sizable transactions conducted by subpar professionals. I call them hobbyists. And everyone has their own name for that. I believe that, yes, the consumer is still going to need that representation on the buy side and sell side. There's an introduction of a new friction point on the buy side. And that in and of itself will accelerate the offboarding of hobbyists from the industry. The models that support hobbyists are now going to be threatened because of that. So if you're making money, if you're making margin on someone who does one, two transactions a year, and that is like critical to your business model, this is going to be an existential moment for your organization. If your focus is on those who provide the best possible service to the buy side and sell side and do that frequently, adding a friction point, can that be a nuisance? Perhaps, but it's just that and only that.
One of the challenges in real estate has been, from a consumer perspective, recognizing and separating the high caliber, high volume professionals from the hobbyists. And there's a lot of hobbyists who represent themselves differently, not as hobbyists, folks as they're, I'm a luxury agent, I'm a top producer. They're really a hobbyist. I call them the onesie twosies. How in the future, how will a consumer start to differentiate between the onesie-twosie hobbyist and the true professionals?
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue is there's some an emotive component to agent selection, right? It can be a person you know, and frankly, it might be a family member. That also sort of progresses the systemic issue here as well. That's sort of taking that off the table. You know, I don't know, in the 80s, is that when listing agreements were introduced?
And sounds right.
Something like that. And like, I don't know, I remember.
I have to call our senior advisor, Steve Murray, on some of those questions.
Ask Steve,
I'm not calling you old, but you were around a few decades before I was. So
Steve will know. Like,
Steve Murray, not Caps. You're Caps.
Yeah, Steve Murray.
Let's not mix
the best either. Thing to do with all of this is just ask Steve Murray. That's probably the best piece of advice I can give anyone. I digress. So if you ever watch the movie Friday Night Lights, when Billy Bob Thornton's character is threatened because he potentially could lose in the state tournament, you know, Texas football, it's a religion in the great state of Texas. What you see on his lawn, and I guess it's perpetually there, are a bunch of signs, a bunch of real estate signs. And what the listing agreement did was it condensed that to one sign, and over time, that single sign, particularly the name on it, put folks in a position to generate market share, and then that became their sphere of influence, and then became the listing agent of that particular market. I believe we're going to see a similar trend on the buy side, and when you have to ask somebody to commit to a certain level of compensation, that is far different than you presenting yourself as an individual who has access to all the homes in the market, is an expert in luxury, but you don't have to sign on the dotted line anywhere. Once you got to sign on the dotted line, that in and of itself will separate the true trade professionals from the hobbyists. Because the hobbyists, they're going to have a tough time really understanding what is necessary to get someone to sign on the dotted line.
And they're going to be more prepared to demonstrate value, explain buying strategy with data, talk about market trends, and actually explain why they're worth X percent, whatever the consumer is.
Getting in those conversations more than a hobbyist. I mean, the simple frequency of it for a top producer is going to, that will sharpen that skill to a point where you will see an accelerated differentiation between them, the consumer will see it, and your hobbyist.
I think the folks covering the industry often make this like distinction between a listing agent and buyer's agent, but it's not that clear, right? Like the best listing agents are also helping consumers with purchases, and a lot of agents that have, you know, historically worked on the buy side are working toward building more listings. So do you think that that like combination agent continues, or do we start to see a world where like buyers reps and listing agents start to like differentiate a little bit more, and there's different like competencies that start to evolve in the ecosystem?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically an acceleration of specialization. It's all speculative. My view, I kind of view this about sales in general, actually. If you're good, you're good. You know, if you are an individual who operates at, 75% listing to buy side ratio, you might be the rainmaker on your team. Don't see that changing all that much. If you are a generalist on that person's team, I do not see all that changing all that much. I do see the advancement of the team model happening because of this. And the reason why I see the advancement of the team model happening because of this is the training that has to go into sharpening your saw on the buy side, presenting value, fulfilling on that value, representing the brand the right way. Like the enablement alone is going to require more boots on the ground leadership, which is what team leaders provide. So I do see that trend accelerating. As it relates to balance, no. If you're a great real estate agent, you're a great real estate agent, and you'll most likely be working both buy side and sell side in the future.
One of the trends that we saw over the last couple of years in the Real Trends Verified data is that team volume and performance against individual agents was escalating for many years. But in the last 24 months, when industry volume came down, team volume fell faster than individual agent volume, which we kind of credited primarily to some teams that were like heavy lead gen shops. And they were like using like lots of like buyer leads to bring sides into the numbers. Do you see that trend kind of like flipping as we get to this like post proposed settlement world and like the volume growth of teams starts to escalate again, or does like evolution of the lead ecosystem have an impact there as well?
Well, initially, my if memory serves, the online sort of the online opportunity as it relates to meeting customers was supposed to level the playing field, if not accelerate the fruits of the individual. And we actually saw an acceleration in teams.
Yep.
I believe the trend that you're referring to is also a reflection of new entrants into the industry and perhaps teams that were sustainable at five scaled up to eight agents. And, you know, those folks just left the industry. Moving forward, I'm a believer in the team model. And I do see high-powered, well-run, brand-differentiated organizations, teams, consuming more market share because of the added potential added friction points that are going to exist in on the buying and selling process. As it relates to the rate of that acceleration, and again, I'd be speculating, but the bottom line is I certainly believe, given what's happening in the industry, the team model is one that's going to be bringing the industry forward. And that should realize itself in more market share for teams than we see today.
So talking about, like, shifting over to talk about consumer communication and consumer engagement right now, whether that's coming from a team leader or an individual agent, we're in this proposed settlement world right now. And like, there's a consumer pressure on communication. Like, I had this conversation with Leo Preha from EXP in the last few weeks. There's a lot of like BS and miscommunication out there, particularly in headlines. So are you getting questions from side agents and team leads like, wait, what do we communicate? Like, how do we like stay in front of the communication cycle with clients? Like, so give us a little guidance on how you're coaching folks at sides and like what messaging is like most important as we kind of navigate this murky post proposed settlement world before an actual settlement acceptance. Or is there no message at all? Is this all just BS in the headlines and we should just move on with buying and selling houses?
That answer is for sure right. I believe there may be a slightly adjusted path, but the outcome is still the same in my view. If you do a really good job representing a buyer, if you do a really good job of representing a seller, both sides of the transaction need that guidance and will need that guidance after June of 2024 as much as they did prior to June 2024. And if you focus on that, you'll be in good shape. In the near term, we are guiding our partners and the associates, agents on their inside their organization to, yes, focus on, look, you have customers who are in need of seeing and buying homes right now. Like, just focus on servicing them. The responsibility of the brokerage, in our case, the brokerage platform, is to make sure the education's there, the proactive communications are, as we learn, you will learn. And we're doing so at both the partner level and the agent level proactively. And our view on this is, as long as our internal operation and as long as any brokerage's internal operation is staying attuned to the facts, simply communicating them proactively to the folks they are there to support, which are the team leaders and agents inside their organization. And at the same time, guiding a business as usual mindset so they can stay on top of their current customers, it's all going to shake out great. As it relates to advancing beyond some of the components of the buy-side experience that may exist post-June 2024, our focus and the focus of any other company in this space should be like, aside from enablement, how are you going to productize making that experience great for your agents? And we are going to be releasing things in the site application this month to make sure our clients are positioned to serve buyers that may be early stage in the customer funnel, maybe at the discovery stage, like we're not ready to start showing homes yet. If the time comes where they sort of cross that line after June of this year, then they will be app prepared to have the right buy side agreements and all the things necessary to run an experience in a compliant way, i.e., we got you. And my view is, not only from an enablement perspective, from a product perspective, all folks in the space serving agents should be prepared to do just that.
Another market dynamic that's been really impactful in our industry has been inventory. And we've been really low in inventory for the last couple of years. But right now, our Altos research data is showing that we're about 40% higher in active listings than we were 12 months ago. And we're starting to see some compelling week over week trends on listings growth and active inventory growth week over week. Are you seeing that in the 16 states where you operate? Hearing any feedback loops from agents and leaders on activity in market?
Yeah, we're starting to see some loosening in terms of homeowners on sticking. Whereas, you know, over the course of the last few years, even prior to rate increases, we saw real tightening in the listing side of the market. And so that's a really, really, really good thing. I think that's reflective of sort of normalization of our current rates environment. You do have some folks coming to maturity on their loans, in particular 7-year ARMs that may have been baked in at lower rates. And so it makes sense to explore moving. And look, the simple truth is, on top of those things, people still have to move. For a variety of reasons. We are excited for a spring selling season that could accelerate the not only good outcomes for consumers, but the agents inside the side ecosystem.
We've talked about it in this podcast a lot, but I mean, my biggest like fear/prediction for this market is the second rates cooperate and we see a 6-handle and eventually a 5-handle, home prices are going to move in lockstep. And the people who thought this market was unattractive today because of rates are going to think tomorrow's market is unattractive because of home prices. And, if you can afford the market today, it feels like a pretty compelling time to be thinking about purchasing, because you can always refi a rate in the right market conditions. You can't change the purchase price. And, I have a lot of trouble from an economic perspective betting on more affordable housing from a payment perspective. I think that home prices are going to move, in lockstep with interest rates in the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, the demand is out there. Home price appreciation has moved up, year over year, every single year, and in some of the years it's been obviously quite accelerated. I don't know if the outcome would be linear, but I think the point you just made is the one every agent should also have as part of their narrative, which is to say, like, look, your rate can move. You can refinance, investing today in the home of your dreams, the home you want, if it's an invest, whatever. Real estate, generally speaking, is a really good investment. And the rate environment should not be a driver for you on the buy side or on the sell side, in my view.
It's definitely a market where loan originator and agent coordination needs to be at a pretty high level. Because if you're talking about this theory of buying before there's a positive improvement in rates, we still have to think about affordability and like what a consumer can actually get approved for. And it feels like a time where early and active coordination with a loan originator for pre-approval is going to work in favor of a buyer and an agent at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, the two most critical parties in your transaction are the shepherd, which is your real estate agent, and the person who's going to facilitate your financing, which is your lender. The agent-lender relationship is critical. It always has been, in particular in a time like this, especially when you're competing in a tight inventory market. Like, yeah, that's very much a sentiment I agree with.
Well, we're going to have your executive partners, Hillary Saunders, on the stage at the gathering. And that'll definitely be a room of real estate and mortgage executives. So hopefully we'll do our small part in building that coordination between the shepherd and the financing partner that ends up helping consumers make the right decisions.
That is the core of their responsibility is what you just said, actually.
Yeah, spot on. So Steve, thank you. Awesome talking to you. Really cool learning more about the side model, but also tapping into your expertise in real estate brokerage and some of the trends that we're seeing play out here in the second quarter of 2024.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Great podcast, and have fun at the gathering.
Man, how could you not have fun in April in Scottsdale? We're going to have a blast. All right, man. Thanks a lot, Steve. Boom. That's a wrap.